Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thriving with Sarah and Jenny. Today, we're talking about one of my favorite times of year, but I think that's not always the case for everybody, Jenny. What do you think?
I think it's very variable. I think there are some people who can't wait for this time of year, and there are others who think, oh, no, get me out of here now. Beat me up now, Scotty, because it's so fatiguing, stressful, and overwhelming. So yeah. I think we have to be mindful, especially if it's something you absolutely love, that not everybody feels exactly the same way. But you also don't want to be the person who's putting a downer on somebody else who's having a lovely time. So I think we've just got to be mindful and respect each other.
Yeah. And just in case you are listening to this at a different time of year, we're obviously talking about the winter holiday season, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or any of the other amazing celebrations that we do around this time, the solstice and everything like that. Sometimes it comes with baggage, sometimes stress, money worries. And then we have the wonderful social media, which is showing us that we should be perfect. And I think, as you described it, have 17 types of stuffing in our turkey. And it's really interesting, I think, because then we come into this needs piece, right? Which is expectation versus reality versus how should people feel. You probably feel pressure that you should be happy. It's joyous. It's all these things. And lots of people don't feel that.
Exactly. There are some people who have nobody to share a public holiday or a festive time with, and they're going to be feeling quite disconnected from the rest of the world at that time. It can be a very lonely experience. I see all the adverts that come out. I mean, we have Black Friday. Buy now, because it's 70% off or 90%. And you feel compelled because you know, if you don't buy it now, you're going to be paying a lot more for it in the lead up to Christmas itself. And you think, well, actually, I don't have that much money in my account right now. And if I waited another week, I would be able to pay it. And so you've got this sort of push me, pull you thing going on all the time. And how many of us end up in the new year with credit cards that have basically melted? And the next 3 to 4 months paying it all off. And that's as added stress as well. So I think, especially at the moment where things are tight for a lot of people. And I think actually it's a good time to reflect on what is this all about? What are we truly celebrating? And I don't think you have to necessarily have a particular religious affiliation. I think it's celebration. It's a coming together. But I do think we can pare back some of the trimmings and really remind ourselves, what do you want to get out of that time? Who do you want to spend that time with?
I love
that. How do you feel?
Yeah, I love that. As soon as you ask me those questions, I can just imagine it for me. And you're right, actually, you know, and we celebrate Christmas in my house, but also I have Jewish heritage. So we have celebrated Hanukkah and, you know, done lots of other solstice things. And so I think whatever the celebration is, as humans, we are connected to that rhythm of the earth. And this is a time for millennia where the earth has either slowed or where you are, where it was alive and awake as it's going to be. And so there is a rhythm to why we celebrate at this time, whatever it is that we celebrate. And I think for me, how you celebrate it is, again, part of that, what you need and what you've grown up with and what you like and what you experience. But it's probably important, even if you don't, to acknowledge that this is a rhythmic seasonal change. And there is, whether it's light or dark, there is some pull for us to have a pause and to reflect and to be aware of the changes around us. So if I put it through that lens, that whole idea, what do you want at that time of year for you, Jenny? What do you need?
For me, it's all about having family around us. So having our children and their partners come to be at our house or somebody's house where we can just spend time together, relaxed, talking about stuff and just having a good time, because we don't always have that opportunity during the year to always be together. We catch up individually here and there, But I think it's that coming together piece that is particularly important. And I think as I've got older, that's become more important to me. Before, it was when the children were younger, it was all about, well, what gifts are we going to wrap them and buying them all these little extra things. And then my husband would say, because he's such a softy, oh, I think we should buy a couple of extra things to put in the stockings, which is already coming. And I'm thinking, really? So they don't get Christmas stockings anymore. One of them is married, so we don't do the stocking thing anymore. They're a bit disappointed, but they're coming to terms with it. But I think we've also decided as a family to pay it back. And one of the things we did last year for the first time was my husband and I decided we would go away before Christmas. So we got ourselves a little house in the woods, in the forest, south of Perth. And we took off with our dogs and we had beautiful 4 or 5 days of quiet and peace and sunshine and walks on the beach. It was delightful. And of course, we came home feeling relaxed, refreshed, good to go. And then it was Christmas.
Yeah.
But we came into Christmas in that state, relaxed and ready and not thinking, oh my goodness, I forgot to order the sausages or whatever it was.
Happens to us all.
Sorry about it. It was that all that stuff was going to take care of itself. And we had a happy Christmas. It was delightful.
Oh, that is
We're doing
wonderful.
The same this year.
Oh, how gorgeous. And I think that's beautiful. And however you do it, whether it's, you know, physically going away, I love the idea of kind of decluttering your mind and creating that space and holding that space, right, for a pause. Because when you have all sorts of things going around, and I get into that mindset where, like, I love buying gifts for other people to find just the right thing or see something to just do it. So I'm not someone who has like a list. I know what to do. I have to go and I have to feel for what the right gift is. Anyone who's listened to us for a while will know that's how my brain works. But so I have to feel it, which I also find quite overwhelming because I get super overstimulated if I'm going. So I love this idea of just pausing from it and doing that. You talked a little bit about Black Friday, which is based on, I think, the American Thanksgiving, which happens this week that we're recording. And there's this huge, huge run up from that all the way to Christmas. So it's like a month's worth of every kind and family and organizing and travel. And don't forget, work and school are still going on in these times. And you have to go to kids' plays and the kids are making Christmas cards and you have to send stuff to people who live far away. And every one of these individually is quite lovely, I think. Sometimes we can get caught up in that doing all of the things.
Yeah.
But I love this idea of just put everything down and then you can go and pick up just that special time. It sounds like you've made a really beautiful place. And I think you can do that consciously, can't you? You know, some of our rhythms or our rituals or meditation or mindfulness, just carving yourself out a little bit of space, whether that be before you go into a Christmas rush or before you shut down for the year. Take that time.
So how do you create the space you need to ensure that you've got the time and the headspace and the desire to do all those things that give you such enormous pleasure?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things, and I feel like those are serendipitously lucky. One is my birthday's at the end of November. My husband's birthday is actually the beginning of December. So we don't even start thinking about Christmas till after my husband's birthday. I guess it's similar but different. We create quite a clear space that is Christmas time that doesn't leave over. And because we have someone's actual birthday, it's not till the weekend after that that we go, okay, now it's Christmas. So then we can have quite a short but lovely filled, and I use the word filled rather than like packed, time where it's special, it's exciting. Because, you know, if it was Christmas every day, it wouldn't be exciting. We would get used to it, hedonic adaptation, all the things that we know. So it's very specific. So I make sure to do that. I try my hardest not to watch TV's advert. Even when I go shopping, I avoid at all costs the holiday aisles. Even whether this is good for me or not, I don't actually even buy presents for people until after that spot. Oh, I lie. I do it for my family who live far away. I have to send them off a long time. Yeah. So there's a bit of that. There's some rituals, some things that we always do. So there's We like to have a fresh Christmas tree. It reminds me of home, obviously, the West Coast with all the trees and the smell. So that's really big for me. We have a fireplace. So again, that's really important for me to have in the winter. That really helps me with kind of the lack of light. I feel like fire, not quite the sun, but it's a little closer. So there are certain things, smells. So I do a lot of things to create those memory hooks. Because for me, again, it's almost never the actual presence. It's that magical feeling of surprise and delight. So anything I can do in that short space of time to curate those moments.
Yes.
It's funny, we were talking, getting ready for this, and you asked me that question, and I thought, I don't know, there are a few presents I remember growing up, but I want to say 3, maybe 4 in my whole life that, like, hang on, this is something I got for Christmas. This was a special Christmas present. And it was that surprise and delight. That feeling is such an important feeling for me. So it's about creating those moments of yes. feeling that.
Yeah.
Together. And it's together. It's with my family. It's celebration. And also it's chill. For me, it is about food and resting.
You're not older.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. But that's how I do it. And I think some people are really much more organized than I am. And so they've planned out and they know what they're buying and they've got lists and all sorts of things, which I totally admire. But for me, even if I did that, that would overwhelm me. That would bring me into that state of, which is never where I want to be.
You're right. I think it's about working out what works for you and your particular circumstances in your family. Yeah. And if you are somebody that loves to celebrate in a big way, maybe you've got Mediterranean heritage or something, and you've got an enormous family and everybody comes together and everybody brings a plate and there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of food and celebration, then that's fine. But not everybody comes from that place. And I think we do build our current rituals on past experiences. A lot of what we do is what we did when we were growing up and those little things that gave us that little spark of that's so lovely, we like to pass on. So we do the same thing for our families and then I hope and they'll take it on to their families and so on.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful builds.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a beautiful way to like tell stories. I think people who maybe tend towards perfectionism, and I think you might tend towards that a little bit more than I do. You can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think they can get a little stressed out by trying to create that perfection and having visualized it and know exactly what's going to happen if it doesn't go that way. That's some of the stress, right? Of like, oh my gosh, now I have to cook all these things and it just gets on top of you. And it's a feeling, not an expectation, I guess. I think that's a good way to do it, but to try to prevent that from happening because people can get really let down by things and that's never what you want.
No, exactly.
Do you have any tips and tools for anybody who loves Christmas, but it always seems to end in stress or chaos?
Going away and what, then forgetting to come back. I'm not sure.
Just don't come back.
I think it is just about giving yourself permission to do more with less.
Mm.
And I know over the years I've bought expensive Christmas crackers and things like that. And invariably I'm disappointed.
Oh, no.
I think all that money, poof, is gone. But if you make something like a Christmas cracker or you make a little something or other, a little treat for somebody to unwrap, I think that works better. Well, it works better for me because I'm thinking they're going to hopefully appreciate it and know that it was made specially for them.
Yes.
Occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's about the experience rather than the stuff. And it's about distinguishing what is the experience you're trying to engender rather than the stuff that's all around us. So like for yourself, it's important that you have a fresh Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Because it's the height of our summer, we have had live Christmas trees, but invariably the heat dries them out far too quickly and all the pine needles drop.
It's definitely different, right?
We have different forms of Christmas tree. We've done live Christmas trees using eucalypt. So it's a variation.
Yeah, and, yeah, I love that.
And we use what we can find to create different types of decorations. So it's just working with what you've got and making it your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And doing it a little bit differently. Yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it, how the stories of Christmases are almost always the ones where everything doesn't go perfectly.
Those are the ones we remember.
Right. So I reminded of, obviously, I grew up, I had a family and a home in Canada, and then my son and I moved to England. And we didn't know that we were going to stay at that time. So our first Christmas here, we had a real Christmas tree, but we just went to Tesco, a big supermarket in the UK, and bought Christmas decorations. And all my life, our family has had years of Christmas decorations, right? So it's such a rhythm of memories and storytelling that happens on the evening that we decorate the Christmas tree. It's really magical. It's really wonderful. And in that space, I remember being there and having these, at the time, god-awful decorations that were a single color, and they were not old, and they did not, like, you know, and I'm talking, I've got like kids' paper plates from the last 20 years and all sorts of, this is not a beautiful Christmas tree. It is it's a different kind. And I just remember it being so close to tears about that. However, what is it, 19 years on, we have one each of those original Christmas trees that are part of the story. And I wouldn't give them up for the world.
Brilliant.
Because they were the start of this new story. But at the time, goodness me, it felt heartbreaking, right? And so sometimes it is remembering that those moments that feel like a heartbreak, or that things didn't go well, or the turkey didn't cook, or, you know, whatever the chaos ends up being, they become part of your story later on, right? And when you look back, you know, yes, at the time you might have been crying on the floor with the turkey, or I might have been. Not to say that happened, but it definitely did. And but now it's a fantastic story, right, that comes into play and you can laugh. It's such a heightened emotional time that if you can pause and notice those emotions and think about when you take a year or 20 years in the future, how will that actually feel? It's quite a different feeling. So I would remember that in the invariable Christmas disaster that happens this year. What is the story that you can tell?
I think we're probably going to be okay this Christmas time, don't you?
I think so. Yeah. I'm pretty excited. So we are actually leaving. So instead of being in my home where I know where everything is, we're going away with a bunch of family to a big house so we can all be together. And I think invariably, because I won't have all of my things, there will be some disasters, darling. But I guess with that mindset, and thank you for reminding me, I'm now looking forward to them rather than being like, oh no, I have to remember everything.
I think as long as you've got running water and a cooker that works, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's warm and there's food, then yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll be fine. So what are our tips? Have we got some tips for our listeners, I think? How do you have the holiday that you want to experience?
I think the biggest thing is basically to understand what you're hoping to achieve or get out of that experience, and just go back to the emotional state, for want of a better description. How do you want to feel during and after?
Yeah.
Hopefully you're going to be wanting to feel happy and relaxed and look back on it as a good time, and think fondly on those interactions with your various family members that you may not see very often.
For good reasons or bad.
For good reasons or bad. That's right. And just not take ourselves so darn seriously. I think we get so caught up in, why is it? It matters. Well, does it really? Does it really matter? What is actually important? I think if we go back to that, then we can really de-stress that way. How about you? What do you say?
There's a couple of things. One is like, if you have a specific experience in mind, once you've done that, what can you do ahead of time to assist you to be able for yourself to be in that moment? Because I think there are a lot of people, most of the ones I know are women, but it's not necessarily women, who take the weight of creating or curating that experience for people on their shoulders. And then maybe don't get to experience it themselves, right? Or carry all the stress themselves to make sure it's perfect for everyone else. And I think, what can you do ahead of time to remove some of those decisions, work, et cetera, so that you can be present in that moment that is important for you, however that looks, whether it's having a nap or cooking the turkey or whatever it looks like, thinking about that and then paring it back. Maybe if you write yourself a list of all the things you think you're going to get done on that day, being super honest to yourself.
Maybe cut it, tear it in half and chuck the lower half away.
Chuck half of it away. I think that's quite a good one. I might actually take that advice on with this one. I think the second one would be really taking that pause, you know, even if it's small, if it's long, like you're able to do, how wonderful to take that time ahead of time to walk yourself into that period, even if it's just a bit of a down tool, step outside, come back in, to really acknowledge this time of year and why we celebrate things at this time of year. Give yourself that permission to notice, to pause, to stop, right? To breathe and just recheck in with yourself instead of running away. I think as well, there's some unplugging and digital detox in there for me. Getting outside, being where you can be.
Then there's one other thing we can do, and I think that's to share the load. I think sometimes we think we've got to take it all on ourselves because we want to demonstrate that we can. Why?
Why? Exactly. Why? I mean, I was so guilty of that, but like, why do we do that? That's a great point, Jenny.
Yeah.
And I think something else for me that I probably used to be better at is, where can I give to others? Whether that's making something for someone, helping out, donating, helping people less fortunate than myself. That's something that is really special. And sometimes in the craziness of everything, you can get caught up. And I'll hold my hands up. I do this sometimes where I stop thinking about a little bit outside of my circle. And how can I create a little bit of that magic for other people? I grew up in a very kind of poor family, single mom. It was wonderful, but also there was not a lot of money. And many, many people, I look back now, contributed to us being able to have some magical Christmases in various ways, time, money, support, whatever that looked like. And so just, taking that moment and looking up, looking out, looking around, how can I help other people who might need a bit more support?
Love that. Thank you. So I think we put the world to rights. I think we've sorted out the festive time.
I'm pretty excited about that time now.
I hope everybody listening to our podcast has taken away something for themselves from this session. And we'd love to hear what you do. What rituals have you created over the time that enable you to kick back and just really enjoy the moment? And like you said, Sarah, sometimes give back to somebody else. It's a time for kindness and compassion to others. Seize the opportunity whenever you can to do that. Be marvelous. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
And we look forward, as always, to seeing you again on the next session of Thriving with Sarah and Jenny. We'll see you then.